Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead this morning and take a look at a passage of Scripture. Here, actually, a couple passages of Scripture in the New Testament. This is the Apostle Paul exhorting Titus, and he says, "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." And I love that phrase we see there in verse 4. We think of the gospel, we think of Christmas, we think of all the good things that it relates to our salvation. And the way he describes it here is when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. It was mercy and grace. And that is a lot of times what we think of: peace on earth, goodwill toward man. God just extending kindness in our direction. Another passage of Scripture similar, Ephesians 2, 4 through 7. "But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you've been saved. For he raised us up from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ." So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. So here again, we're kind of reiterating that same heart we're seeing here where God has extended his mercy. He's raised us up together with him so that in future ages, he points to us as an example of a demonstration of kindness. And I think of, you know, when we think of kindness and the kindness of God, and I know in my life, in my heart, I typically think of this. I think of these particular scriptures. I think, yes, God's kindness, praise God. He's demonstrated his kindness, that while I was a sinner, he sent Jesus. When I look at the cross, I see God's kindness, I see his mercy, and I've kind of, you know, in my mind, I think, really thought of, relegated the idea of the kindness of God almost exclusively in Christ, in my salvation, and what he did through Jesus. And we need to see that and know it. This is where we know and connect with that kindness of God. However, this kindness of God is a kindness that was demonstrated here, but it continues to powerfully reverberate from the cross. In other words, that kindness wasn't just something he did 2,000 years ago. That kindness is something that God is currently, powerfully, presently, actively extending toward us right now. There's a kindness in God toward you right now at this moment. In the middle of your situation, there's kindness. You know, you think of what is love? Well, love suffers long and is kind. We say, God loves you. Yes, he suffers long and is kind toward you. That's what God loves you means. There's a present kindness in God's love for you. And this is really powerful. It's powerful It's powerful to know that God's kind because he loves you. Absolutely. But this is powerful when it comes to spiritual warfare. There is something that the flesh, the world, and the devil actually have in common with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There is something they have in common. Their influences are both, I mean, their power, they're unseen to our natural eye. The flesh, you know, it's not just what we're talking about, the physical body. When we say the flesh, we're talking about the invisible appetites of a fallen body that were put there because of sin. It's invisible. I can see the effects of it, but I can't see the flesh. I can't see the world. I can see the world as it relates to what the world is doing through people, but there's a spirit of the world. I can't see the powers and principalities that I'm warring against. I just know, in the same way I believe by faith that God is, whom having not seen yet rejoice with joy unspeakable, I also know by faith that I'm not wrestling against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities. So here we are in a world with so much stuff going on that we can't see with our eyes, that registers as thoughts in our head. It registers. We're constantly getting stuff from both sides. And a lot of times I think this, and I think, yeah, and the weapons and the armor and the da-da-da, and I've been there, and I believe it, it's all right, it's all good, but God has just really opened my eyes to just something that has helped me in spiritual warfare as it relates to the kindness of God. If you can get a revelation, and this is really what we're going to talk about this morning, embracing God's kindness. Not just what he did for you 2,000 years ago, but he is kind toward you right now. This is huge. This is a key in your spiritual warfare, in getting through stuff. Seeing God's kindness, embracing his kindness, because his kindness is going to be the key for you as you're fighting this good fight of faith with all these unseen things to determining what's what. We'll go forward, not I'm believing this will kind of jump out as we continue to walk through it a little bit. But as we talk about embracing God's kindness, we're going to start out by talking about what unkindness looks like. You're going to see some things. You're going to see some scriptures that you may have seen in some different lights and different ways. But we're going to look at some things from the perspective of kindness. Because you know, sometimes you know a truth and say, I know this is true, I know it's this way, but. There is something about kindness that just helps checkmate certain things as you're fighting the good fight of faith, as you're dealing with God's wisdom or demonic wisdom. There's something about kindness that just makes it so clear. So, we're going to start by looking at unkindness. What does unkindness look like? The Apostle Paul said, I've discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? So here the Apostle Paul is saying, I want to do the right thing. He's kind of making reference to this battle. You know, you get the kingdom of darkness, the good kingdom, the unseen kingdoms that are playing on your mind. He says, I want to do what God wants me to do, but I got another thing. But you'll notice the language. When this kingdom, what the scripture calls the flesh, the law of sin and death, the flesh. These are different scriptural terms and phrases that refer to the same thing. It talks about the unseen appetites that we inherited through the fall of man. All right? That's the thing. The body's dying for a reason. It's mortal for a reason. It's been corrupted by sin. What does the corrupted by sin mean? It means that it comes with it some appetites of the body that are not right, that we got to deal with. And so as one of these unseen things communicates with us, it doesn't, you know, casually communicate. It wars against the law of your mind. So when this kingdom starts communicating, there's a war. Now, when you think of war, what do you think? You think violent. You think fear of death. Bombs are dropping. Bullets are flying. There is fear. There's a lot of action. That's the way the enemy communicates. He doesn't just, he wars, and to make you a slave to that sin. Let's take a look at a little bit more. We're looking at unkindness. This is what unkindness looks like. It goes on to say in Romans 8, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. It's like we were talking about, lead me, Lord. Places where I haven't wandered yet, just show me, take me out there. So you have not received the Spirit that makes you a fearful slave. Instead, you've received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba Father. But we're finding out a little bit more about the sinful nature. You have no obligation to your sinful nature. But you'll notice how your sinful nature communicates to you. It communicates to you not only through a warring of the mind, but through urges, dictates, and fear. Urge. It's like, impulse. And dictates. When you think of dictate, what do you think of? A dictator. This is how flesh talks. See, a lot of times we think of, oh, I should do this, and I got this push. We need to take a look. There's something bigger going on here. The communication is very unkind. It's not just that God loves me, but the devil hates me. No, it's worse than that. Not only does the devil hate you, he disrespects you, and he drives you, and he tries to addict you to this drill sergeant, dictate, urge. Now here we are, a lot of unseen stuff going on, dark side stuff, good side stuff, things are coming our way, and we're having to figure some stuff out. It's important in some of these paradigms of sin and warfare and all that to get an even more simplified picture here. This is unkind. This is wrong. This is mean. All right? The way your flesh communicates. These are things that you can get a revelation from the sound of and realize. And the reason why this stuff can be so compelling is because when you think of stuff like this, we can have a positive connotation with discipline. If you think of like a drill sergeant, you're going to do this, get up, go. And there can be a good thing where people in basic training, they get things under and it's good and it's right. There's a positive thing. And there's a wholesome thing where you are developing a disciplined life, and that's good and that's great. And there can be a positive thing to when you put yourself into a place of discipline, and you can feel like there's a responsibility here. But Satan perverts that, and there is a dictate, urge, fearful, and you can feel like I've got to be a good soldier. There's just things that you're dealing with in your head. And what the enemy is doing is he is slaving, dictating, urging. Here's another example. One more thing. Stay alert, watch out, for your great enemy, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him. Be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering as you are. Here again. War urges, dictates, fear roars. And you can almost, the way the enemy communicates to you, it's almost like post-traumatic stress. As you're trying to navigate stuff. And where it can be confusing is when we're trying to pick up things in the spirit, we can confuse the way the enemy speaks to us with the way that God speaks to us. We're going to get into that in just a second, but I kind of want to set the stage a little bit. I want to set the backdrop. In fact, we can be so tricked sometimes. Who's wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, don't boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above. It's earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. You can get worked up into a frenzy of bitter and self-seeking in a way that you think you're getting something from God, and he's saying you're not getting something from God. What are we seeing here in all this stuff? Bitter envy, confusion, every evil thing, as it relates to this community. We're seeing something that is very, there's a common denominator all this stuff has. I know we've got so many different teachings off all this, but the common denominator, it's unkind. It's all very unkind. And sometimes the Holy Spirit has just shown me, that's just not right. That voice that's warring against your mind is not treating you with the proper respect. And again, the problem with is as we kind of get used to this kind of way of listening and picking up things, we can get confused in our spirit and our mind and our heart of who's doing the talking. So conversely, understanding what that unkindness looks like, we need to kind of flip it then and say, what does kindness look like? Okay? Because this is where you're going to see such a powerful contrast between the flesh, the world, and the devil, and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in the way God communicates with you. What are we talking about? We're talking about embracing God's kindness. Jesus says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Here is the deal. And this is, man, if you could just get one thing this morning, this is it. Satan drives and he wars and he urges and he dictates. God doesn't do that. Where Satan drives, God invites. He invites you to come. He doesn't drive you to come. He invites you to come. He's not playing you. He's not manipulating you. He's inviting you to come. If you're heavy laden, you're invited. If you're laboring, you're invited. In fact, all who labor, all who are heavy laden are invited. And as we're over here and we're wanting to be diligent and we're wanting to be da-da-da-da, we can kind of confuse a spiritual diligence with a driving kind of mentality. And this heart of God, as he's calling you, as he's inviting you, it is inviting you. Here's Satan drives you, he disrespects you, and he's mean, and he's bullying. That's what that is, bullying you. Okay, God not only loves you over here, but he respects you, and he's kind toward you, and he treats you with respect. now. If you've been over here dealing with all this, you don't feel like you're even worthy of respect. You're not used to being treated with respect. You're not used to this kind of an invitation. You can know it theologically. I'm talking about emotionally, mentally, when you're in the battle. You got to say, that drill sergeant, you know, we look at those words again, warring, urging, dictating, fear, roars. Common denominator, very unkind. Over here, come, who labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest, take my yoke. I'm gentle, I'm lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. Yoke is easy, burden is light. This is, it's not, it's kind. There's a kindness in God's voice. Love suffers long and is kind. And this is what I want to pull through this morning as it relates to all the stuff that we know about spiritual warfare and things like that. Make sure the kindness of God is not something he just did for you 2,000 years ago. But there is an active, present kindness that God has for you right now that helps you to understand and know what's what. Sometimes when we think of the grace of God, we think of forgiveness, as we just celebrated even this morning in communion. It can almost seem like too good to be true. He really paid for all my sins. All my sins? Yeah, all my sins. And even though it seems too good to be true, we know it's true. Sometimes this can seem too good to be true, but it's true. You mean he really, God loves you, you mean that he suffers long toward me right now, and he's kind toward me right now? Right now he's kind? Yes, he is kind toward you right now. While you were a sinner, he loved you, but he's kind toward you right now. His voice is still gentle and lowly in heart toward you right now. There's a kindness that we have to embrace. Because when we're here kind of in the middle and you're probing, you'll kind of do some things. You know how it is. We kind of probe for something. We're looking for a feeling. We're looking for a something. The enemy has a lot of somethings, a lot of urges and to satisfy that prompting. But when you're over here, God is just inviting you. And I'm doing what I'm doing by faith. I'm coming by invitation. I'm not coming by harassment. I'm coming because of my kind Savior is bidding me to come. He says in James, this kind of answers the other side of that wisdom question. He says, the wisdom that is from above, it's pure, it's peace-loving, it's gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. This is his wisdom. This is the sound of God's wisdom. It's what it looks like. And as we're embracing the kindness of God, we've got to realize that he is kind toward us right now. The way he's going to speak to us is going to have kindness in it. It's going to be kind. I've heard, you know, sometimes you think God and the personification of God and different things like that. You know, I've been around this block a while. I've seen the different personifications, and I know different things, and sometimes you can have competing theological, how you see God and how you view God. As a child of God, you need to see God as your heavenly Father, and you need to see his kind face. Yes, he's God. Yes, he's the King of glory. Yes, he's the Almighty, everlasting, all-powerful. But you have peace with him through the blood of Jesus Christ, and he is kind toward you. He is kind, and his kind face is so clear. We read this earlier, just about in referenced it earlier in communion. So we must cling in faith to all we know to be true, for we have a magnificent King Priest, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who rose into the heavenly realm for us and now sympathizes with our frailty. He understands humanity, for as a man, our magnificent King Priest was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet conquered sin. So now we come freely and boldly to where love is enthroned to receive mercy's kiss and discover the grace we urgently need to strengthen us in our time of weakness. Strength, What's different about this? This is not urge, dictate, war. Where is it? It's not there. It's not there. It's a different sound. Jesus said, my sheep, he didn't say my sheep would know my theology. He said, my sheep would know my voice. And such a big part of embracing the kindness of God is embracing that voice. It's kind. Since you judge others for doing these things, talking about the wrong things, he got done bullet pointing there in Romans 1. Why do you think you can avoid God's judgment when you do the same things? Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? Isn't that interesting? His kindness leads us to repentance. His kindness turns us from sin. Kindness. What is it about kindness? If somebody deliberately shows you kindness, it's hard. It's like instinctive. There's just something that wants to be kind back. It's just there. When you can see God being kind toward you, you want to reciprocate it. You just want to love him. You want to see his kind face. See his tender face. Let's get specific where this really hits home a lot. A lot of times I say, don't blame God. It's not God's fault. Don't blame God. I'll tell you what. One of the most powerful ways in real life to not blame God when bad things are going on is to embrace his kindness. He is kind toward you right now. It's not just that God is good and the devil's bad. And don't blame God. God is actively, presently, engagingly kind toward me. I love him because he first loved me. I'm kind because I receive his kindness toward me. There's a response. We have to embrace that kindness. You know what it does? When you do that, it's a lot like a it's almost like a flag in a football game. You know, a ref has a flag. He's got, this time of year, we watch the NFL a lot. When the ref pulls out that yellow flag and throws it, that means somebody did something wrong. And when you really embrace kindness, it gives you the ability to tell which voice you're listening to. If it's bitter envy, it's not from above. He doesn't sound like that. He sounds like this. And there is something about having that kindness, that sense of God's kindness toward you, that just checkmates it quickly. I recently just had a word just stir in my heart where the Lord just, he said, choose life one thought at a time. Is there life in that thought? Is there not life in that thought? Then don't choose that one. Choose life one thought at a time, and thought by thought by thought, you'll walk into that place of life and peace. And so much of the issue is judging our own thoughts. And you can judge that thought, you can throw that flag based on kindness. Regardless of what's being said, ask yourself this. Is it being urged, dictated, warred, feared, and roared? Or is there an invitation to come? Is it full of mercy and good fruit? And that's where we can win the battle with the revelation of kindness. That's where I can throw the flag and say, no. I got a wrong thought. Unnecessary roughness. No kindness. I reject that thought, and I break the power of that thought and that influence off my life. It's not God. That's not the way he speaks to me. What are we talking about? It's such a contrast. When you think of Jesus saying, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, that's heavy stuff. Come on, you've got to get in the meat of this stuff. I'm meek and lowly in heart. There's a collision there of this real serious, big, dramatic thing and meek and lowly in heart. And you're going to find what? Rest for your soul. That's what you get. And so here we have a collision of big, heavy spiritual warfare stuff that comes head-to-head again with the kindness of God. The kindness of God is a thing that actually helps you know what's what. The psalmist put it this way, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in the green meadows. He leads me beside the peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. For even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. For you're close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. I don't know, you know. I've heard a lot of spiritual warfare stuff. I've preached a lot of spiritual warfare stuff. I mean, I get it. But there is an inflection point in every one of us when it doesn't come down to your theology being right. It doesn't come down to but to just one thing. Is this kind or is this not kind? God loves me. He's kind toward me. He's respectful toward me. He respects me. Do you understand that? Sometimes we don't. It's all about worshiping him. It is about worshiping him. But you're worshiping one who loved you and gave himself for you. And when you're in this battle, you got to see him as that shepherd. You got to see that face. And it comes up in a simple choice. There's war, there's roar, there's urge, but I know one thing. I know one thing, it's not God. Now, knowing that one thing won't stop the enemy from roaring. It won't stop the urges from coming. It doesn't make the battle go away. But it is that flag in your pocket. It's an authority in the kindness that says that wisdom is not from above. And I choose God's kindness. I choose his kindness. This is the way he is. He lets me rest. He renews my strength. He protects me. He's a good, good shepherd. There's a song that came out recently that I think, and I like, you know, the psalm because you got these similes and metaphors and different things like that to help you. And the song, ironically, is kind of full of that as well, too. And as we're looking at kind of embracing God's kindness and looking at what unkindness looks like, what kindness looks like, I just want to read a little, you know, some of the song because I think it kind of pulls out some of the similarities as far as embracing that. And it's called The Voice of God, and this was done by Maverick City Music, but it says, I can hear it in the crackle of a bonfire. I can hear it in the middle of the ocean water. And I just can't explain, but it makes me want to cry. And I can hear it when the rain falls on my window sill, on a playground where children's laughter lives. I can't explain it, but it makes me want to cry. It's like the sound of a newborn baby crying, like the final breath of a loved one passing. Oh, it's a beautiful day, yeah, because it leads me to the light. Like when the sun goes up. Sometimes it's better when the sun goes down because there's just something about the moonlight, and it makes you feel all right. I remember that day when he called my name. Nothing was the same because of the voice, and everything was changed, and I saw myself in a different way. Before, there were so many noises. I've made so many wrong choices listening to other voices, but now I hear the voice of God, and he is still speaking, and he's still declaring, and creation responds. The wind still obeys. The voice that created is the same voice that saved us, the voice of God. Listen to the texture and the tone. Listen for the kindness, for the hope. Listen, it's the sound that leads you home. It's the voice of God. Oh, that still small voice. Holy, holy, holy. No other voice can compete. No other voice can stand beside. It is holy, holy, holy. It calms my fears. It soothes my doubts. The deaf ear still responds to the sound of his voice. The dead man still gets up from the ground because of his voice. Everything responds when he calls. I come alive when he calls. Everything stands at attention when my father speaks, my daddy speaks, my healer speaks, my savior speaks. Everything stands at attention. I can hear his voice right now. There is a quality of the voice of God. You know, we talked the other day about that Chinese finger trap. You kind of got the little tube and you put your fingers in both sides of them and you try to get out, and the more you pull, it's like the more you lock down. And here again, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And you're used to warring and fighting and urging and all that, and I'm going to do spiritual warfare and all that. Yeah, you're going to do spiritual warfare. You're going to do spiritual warfare, but it's not going to be it's not going to be the wrath of man. You're going to do spiritual warfare at the throne of grace in the presence of your kind God who loves you. And he said, that finger torture, you do that, you can't. Something has to change. So you take one finger, just move it the other way, turn it, it comes out. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Something has to change. Something has to change. And one of the things that changes in that warfare is embracing the kindness of God. God loves me. God is for me. That's good. But he's kind to me. And he respects me. And he doesn't urge and dictate. He invites. This is not, again, God personas and sloppy, agape little pastor wants to preach little teddy bear God and all that. Put that out of the way. This is really, really serious right now. We don't have time for that. We don't have time to defend images of God like that. This is warfare. This is serious. And it's in these moments you need to know his kindness. It's not about what I'm projecting in my version of Jesus. That, you know, after a while, that just doesn't matter anymore. All that matters is I want to be free and I don't care what it looks like. In that place, you got to know he's kind. It's one of the most tough things you can do is know he is kind. And there aren't bombs flying over here. He's meek and lowly in heart over here. And over here, you're receiving with meekness that engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Not the wrath of man. But heavy lifting is being done over here. And when you walk in the Spirit, not only do you not fulfill the lust of the flesh, but you bear the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, meekness. You become like your Father over here. It's so different. And I'm just saying, this is where I've really had to grow and change, because it's, you know, we get into all the church and the battle and the spiritual warfare and all that. And we can kind of get emotionally conditioned and da-da-da-da-da, and you're fighting, battling, but there's a lot of action going over here. Action that he's talking. And you can get caught up in that sense of action, but you got to remember, this is how he's talking. He's leading and he's guiding by his Spirit. And this is where breakthrough comes. Have you had that? I love that song so much because you can sense the presence and the witness of the Spirit in some of these subtle little things, whether it's natural stuff or spiritual experience stuff. There's a common denominator there too. There's a kindness in all those. There's a comfort in all those. But there's an embracing God's kindness right now. It's not a thing he did for me. Thank God he did for that for me 2,000 years ago. But he's kind to me right now. I believe his kindness. In the middle of my laboring and heavy ladenness, he's kind. There's a lot of reasons you can be laboring and heavy laden. Might be your fault, might not be your fault. God doesn't qualify that. The only thing he says is laboring and heavy laden. You can come. I'm kind. I'm gentle and lowly in heart. Learn of me. This is what we're learning about him. He's kind. And when you get a revelation of kindness, then that flag in your pocket becomes a very powerful weapon of your warfare. You can throw the flag. It's one thing to technically know, but when you get embracing his kindness and you believe, God loves me, that's not just words. He respects me. He's kind toward me. He treats me better than this. This isn't him, because I know him and I know his kindness. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that you are kind, that you are kind toward us, that you love us. I pray, Father, these words would just fill our hearts this morning. You love us. You respect us. You honor us as your children. You're kind toward us. Let our hearts go there. I just take authority in the name of Jesus over all the fleshly post-traumatic stress junk that would cloud the way you speak to us. In Jesus' name, those lies are broken. I pray, Father God, by the Spirit of God, as we embrace your current, present kindness toward us, Father God, that we would see it, that we would know it, that it would minister grace and peace to our hearts, Father God. You are kind. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith right now, if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, you are kind. You are kind toward me now. In the middle of my mess, you are there. And you invite me with kindness to come to you. I respond to your kindness. I see your kind face this morning. I don't see an angry face. I see a kind face. And I thank you that you love me. And I approach you because I believe you are a safe place, a kind place, where there's mercy to help me in my need. I love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Well, it's a simple truth, but I'll tell you what, it can uncover a lot. The enemy, man, he is so mean. He'll tempt you to do something, and then he'll accuse you of having done what he tempted you to do. And then he will lie to you and tell you God doesn't want to see you. That's his cycle. That's how he plays man. But there's something about the kindness of God that can see through all that and say, no matter what I've done, I can come unto him. He was kind. He's still kind. And when you allow yourself to hear what he has to say in that place of kindness, the words that just come up out of your heart just clear and just change everything. Because he does love you. He is for you. Praise God. Well, receive that this morning. He's kind toward you right now. You don't earn it. Same way you didn't earn forgiveness, you don't earn that kindness. He just is kind toward you. And let that heal and settle your soul.